This is another damn podcast about digital asset management. I'm Henrik de Gior. In this episode, we have a webinar recording about metadata auditing brought to you by mydamservices.com and damnnews.org. Enjoy.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to today's webinar. There's never a bad time for great metadata, hosted by mydamservices and damnnews. Excellent topic. And an incredible ensemble of panelists joining us today. We'll introduce them in a moment. So what do you do when your digital asset management system isn't properly utilized by its users? How frustrating is it when talking about the system involves phrases like, "Ugh, I keep trying to find stuff in there, but I never can," or "I never go in there anymore." Combated by hearing users are turning to search engines to find your brand images, taking screen grabs, using low resolution images for brand collateral, when you know they have everything they need, if only there was a more consistent and thorough maintenance to your DAM programs. Let's face it, everyone's DAM system can get cluttered and messy quite quickly. Files get buried. Users could be scrolling through countless assets before they find what they need. Off-brand or outdated assets are mistakenly used. Unused assets increase storage and costs. The list goes on and on. Well, let's all take a deep breath, because today we're going to take a look at what a good old-fashioned DAM cleanup might look like to help improve your digital asset management return on investment and time to market. So I thought we'd start off with a poll. It's always a nice icebreaker, get things going, do a little housekeeping. And then we'll introduce the panelists and get to our questions. So if you don't mind, I'm going to launch the poll. And just take a moment and answer those couple of questions just to give us a better idea of who's attending today. And if you, for those of you who are not familiar with Zoom, and it's funny to say that now because just about everybody's familiar with Zoom, there's a difference in how you view the webinar today. There's gallery and speaker view, and that would be the difference in whether or not you just see whoever's speaking in full screen, or you can hit gallery and see everybody. As well as if you have questions, because we're saving time at the end of this webinar to answer questions, please use the Q&A feature. You can start entering questions anytime you want, but we'll answer those at the end. So good, we got about 60% of the people have voted. Give that another minute or two. Looks like a majority of the people here have been around DAM for less than a year or between 3 to 8 years. Oh, let me share. Got about 70%. Well, just jumping to sift. Well, I'll give it another minute. Just jumping up. Getting to like 80%. All right, I'm going to end the poll, share the results. Everybody see that?
Yes.
So it looks like the 3 to 8 years as far as people being involved in digital asset management. Have you done a DAM metadata audit before? Yes, 55%. That's great. When do you plan on conducting another audit? We have a number of people looking to do that within the next six months, and others are curious. And lastly, how large is your company? It looks like the majority of the people here are less than 200 employees, and 11 to 100 people utilize their current DAM system. So that's great. Appreciate that. All right. So let's take an opportunity and introduce this fine ensemble of panelists today. We'll start with the ladies first. Abby Wiesenthal, did I get that correct?
You absolutely did.
Excellent. How you doing, Abby? You mind just taking a minute to introduce yourself?
No, absolutely not. Thank you, Frank. Yeah. First of all, thank you so much for attending today's panel. I think this today's webinar, I think it's such an important subject, and it's one that's near and dear to my heart. I first became involved with digital asset management and metadata in general at Warner Media, which was then Turner, and worked on it throughout many, many iterations of how digital asset management and metadata were being used in media workflows, which, as everybody knows, changed drastically over the years due to technology disruptions and different distribution methods and so on. And so accurate and complete metadata is absolutely a subject that is near and dear to my heart. But as we all know, metadata can become obsolete or corrupted over time. And that's why I think this is a great subject.
Excellent. Thanks, Abby. Thank you for being here. Erin McElrath. How you doing, Erin?
I'm good. My name is Erin McElrath. I am the asset manager at LinkedIn. I've been there a little over a year, maybe a year and a half now. And I've been doing asset management for 10 or 12 years. I was in the Bay Area for 8.5 years doing asset management at the top tech companies around there. And basically I come into companies and I get their dam off the ground and running. So this webinar is appropriate for me because a lot of what I do is metadata analysis and cleanup.
Excellent. Thank you, Aaron. Also with us today is Henrik de Geer. Henrik, how are you?
Thanks, Ralph. I'm doing well. Thanks so much for having me. Yes.
Frank.
Yes. Thanks for having me. I'm Henrik de Geer. I'm the consultant behind Another Damn Consultancy, the blogger behind Another Damn Blog, the podcaster behind Another Damn Podcast, and the co-founder of Another Damn Services, or My Damn Services. I look forward to your questions and continuing the conversation on the webinar. Thank you.
Thanks, Henrik. And last but not least, Ralph Windsor. Good to have you, Ralph.
Hi, Frank. Oh, dear. It's the stand on a chair and tell the group about yourself question. I'm project director for Daydream. We're a DAM consultancy. I'm also editor of DAM News, which a few of you might have seen. I've been doing this for 26 years, digital asset management. It seems to, it's even better with every passing year, obviously. But that's me pretty much. So yeah, I've been around the block a few times with this subject.
Excellent. Thanks, Ralph. My name is Frank DiCarlo. I'm dating myself as well, but I've been involved in digital asset management since the mid-90s. I was working with something called Portfolio just internally to keep things straight with different retail clients I was dealing with and helping them with their advertising. I developed one of the first SaaS models in the early 2000s for my clients when things became web browser-based. And I help many trusted companies realize their maximum potential and value in the utilization of digital asset management to improve operational efficiencies and strengthen their brand consistency. So, yeah, I've taken a few laps myself. But thank you all for being here today. Really appreciate it. So let's get going. I'm just going to jump into some questions. And like I said earlier, anybody that has some questions in the audience, feel free to enter them in the Q&A because we save some time at the end to answer those as well. But the questions we came up with that we felt lent well to the topic at hand, let's start with, when should a company look at cleaning up their metadata? What does that look like?
Can I jump in?
Absolutely, Abby.
So I think there are multiple points in a company's DAM maturity in which they need to take a look at their metadata. So one is if they don't have a formal asset management system in place and they buy a DAM tool or service. So you're going to want to take a look at your legacy metadata to make sure that it's correct before you upload all of your assets and metadata into this new DAM. And then going along the maturity timeline, where you have very, very mature DAM installations that have been in place for a while, but your workflows and your automations have become more complex, then you'll need to take a look at your metadata to make sure that its structure and terminology are answering the needs of your new workflows and automations. So those are two main points at which you could do it. And also, I think if you're migrating from one DAM system to another, would be another good time to take a look.
I'll follow up here. I actually think that you should be cleaning up your metadata, and kind of like it's almost one of these tasks that you do all the time, but it never really ends. It's a sort of ongoing, continuous type of activity. I can accept the fact that there are certain key points when you need to do a lot of cleaning up or a special kind of cleaning up initiative. But the overall activity, I would say, yeah, it's sort of one of these regular governance type of things that should be you're doing constantly.
I agree with that. I view an asset management system as like a living, breathing part of a company. And as our culture changes, I believe our metadata should change. Like, for example, in the US, we had a pretty volatile 2020. I know at LinkedIn, our metadata, I got new terms all over the place as people were looking for more work from home related content, for example, people with face masks, that's a new metadata term now, and stuff like that. Also, how you describe people now has changed. People are looking for more diverse imagery. So you want to make sure that that's applied to your metadata as well. Anything that people are looking for, I really utilize, I make sure I look at search reports very often to make sure that everybody's able to find what they need. And maybe the only thing that they're not finding are terms that they spell wrong, which is, I'm okay with that.
I would like to just add on to what Ralph said, which is, yes, I completely agree. Metadata maintenance and updating should be an ongoing task. And so maybe we could differentiate between that kind of metadata work and a formal metadata audit, which I think is a much more extensive and detailed activity. And so the points at which I mentioned were just for those formal audits, by 100% on board with the fact that a DAM is a living, breathing, and metadata is one of the things that has to be constantly watched over and corrected.
I agree. And to piggyback on all that, there's cleanup that can be done on a daily basis as far as every business day to look at all the past uploads on a daily basis, which I've done before, just looking at making sure that everyone's uploaded properly and blogged about it on how to do that. And then there's also the formal audit, back to the point of this webinar, as far as looking at major cleanup. And because every time you upload something, or every time someone uploads something, there's probably going to be cleanup, because there's, if it's humanly done, there's going to be mistakes, guaranteed, regardless of how buttoned up your metadata schemas are or taxonomy happens to be. It's a cyclical basis, back to Ralph's point. Whether you're on your first DAM, your fifth DAM, you're merging DAMs, you're doing mergers and acquisitions, or whatever that might look like, you're going to have to clean up that metadata on a regular basis, because ultimately the users, your current users, need to find it. And you have diverse users, back to Aaron's point, not just engineers, not just scientists, not just R&D people, not just product development people, not just marketing people, right? So whether it's and it depends on, you know, what does your DAM contain? Is it past projects, current projects, future releases, whatever that might look like, or all of the above, right? So it depends on all those things. But the ultimate goal is that users can find that stuff quickly. And if they can't, find out why and fix it. In a bulk fashion.
Yeah. So I think that tracking failed searches searches that don't produce the results that the user wants would definitely prompt, I think, any DAM manager to take a look at what the searches were, why they were failing, and where the metadata is incomplete or missing, resulting in the failed searches. So that's one great data point. But the living, breathing thing can't be overemphasized enough. I mean, to piggyback on what Aaron said, everything in that world of assets is constantly evolving, including language and culture and history. And those keyword updates and taxonomy updates are also critical to keeping up with that.
And one point I'd actually say as well, on the search logs, search to download ratio is another key variable. If your DAM tracks that kind of stuff, if you start seeing the number of searches goes up and the download is decreasing, that can give you a bit of an indicator as well that you might have to do a metadata audit. Yeah, all of this is really, it's not all data driven, but data should, and analysis of your logs and your auditing material should inform a lot of what you're doing.
I think another also great point for auditing your metadata is if you get to the point where you're onboarding large new groups of users to the DAM. I don't really know what I mean by large, but just say, you know, 50 to 100 people or more. And those people are going to present a new set of challenges when it comes to search and usability. And that might be another good time to take a really good look at your metadata so that it meets the needs of your new user base.
Similar to onboarding new groups or departments or that kind of thing, where if you are putting if you're only using it in marketing and then suddenly there's a new department that's going to be using it and they're completely different from marketing, there's going to be different users searching for different terms, potentially for the same things, but we don't know, right? And understanding what they're looking for and how they're searching. And if they can't find it, back to Ralph's point, if the reports are not showing downloads or logins, right? Like registered users are never logging in or rarely logging in, or they're logging in but they're never downloading or using any files that are or assets that are in there, or they're searching but they're not downloading. That's a key indicator that there's a problem, and you have to talk to some of those users that logged in and say, "Hey," back to Aaron's point, survey them and ask them, "It's like, were you not able to find what you're looking for? What were you looking for? Help me understand. Was it misspelled? What was the challenge?" And if they're the key indicator of when a company should be cleaning up their metadata is when users can't find their stuff. That's the simplest basic criteria.
Agreed. I think we started touching a little bit on this, but why don't we talk a little bit about why we should conduct a metadata audit? You know, some of the pros and cons. What results can we attain by conducting a metadata audit? You know, what are the benefits? You want to fine tune that a little bit?
I'll jump in on this one. I think that metadata is like the DNA of your DAM. It's so important. As Henrik was mentioned earlier, that you know, people aren't finding anything. Your ROI case is just blown. It's just the DAM is basically useless. So that's really the fundamental reason why you've got to be constantly auditing what's going on and analyzing sort of search records and audit data and things like that. Is basically to find out if people are able to find their stuff. It's that simple. It's down to that. If you spent all this money on kit and then you're not getting ROI out of it because people can't find anything, then you basically wasted your money.
Yeah. And I would also say that the simplest DAM system might just be some storage with a middle layer of service and a GUI thrown on top of it. But in the more complex DAM implementations, in which your DAM also contains your asset workflow and your asset action automations, any inaccuracies or incompleteness in your metadata can bring that process to a grinding halt. And so that's one of the risks of incomplete or incorrect metadata, is that you will not be able to use and monetize your assets in the way you want to, because they're not described well, or because the metadata schema doesn't fulfill that which is created by your distribution partners. So the more complex your DAM is, I think, the heightened the importance of having correct and complete metadata as well.
Anybody else want to touch upon some of the whys? What are the pros and cons?
Again, it could come down to M&A as to why. If you've merged with companies, or you've separated from different companies and or different brands, if you've accumulated new brands or gotten rid of certain brands, it's a matter of cleanup there as well, to making sure that things are copacetic and still findable for what you have left, or what you have newly accumulated, so that the new users or users in general can find what they're searching for, and making sure that the rights are understood, right? Because there's usually a tie to rights and the use of the asset, or at least there should be, if you don't own it wholeheartedly. And if you don't own it wholeheartedly, you'll find out the hard way. through lawsuits, typically. That's how most people find out about rights. So it's a matter of finding, making sure that users can find their stuff. And if they can't find their stuff, find out from your own users what makes it searchable, and how to make it more searchable or faster, to be findable, the findability faster.
I would like to piggyback on that. Like, you asking the users what terms, how they search, putting out those surveys, because I find once a user has an invested interest in your DAM, then they're more likely to use it. And so metadata cleanup and maintenance can be a tool and a vehicle to get more user adoption.
Yeah, agreed. So we touched upon the when and why. Let's get into a little bit of the meat of it. So how do we go about implementing an efficient metadata cleanup?
I think that depends on what you're cleaning up. I'd really like to hear from Aaron on this. Because I hate answering questions with the "it depends" statement, but the way you go about cleaning up your metadata, I think, is there are certain best practices to apply to it. But in real life, since every DAM implementation is unique, Aaron, how do you go about managing and maintaining your metadata?
Well, I generally, in a job, and I think this might be true for a lot of the people watching, I'm usually a team of one. So any sort of metadata maintenance is going to be a large endeavor, based on the users. Like right now at LinkedIn, I'm facilitating about over 1,000 users. And that's a big undertaking for one person. And that's a lot of hands in the pie, so to speak. So what I would do is, first of all, I would go to parties that have a stake in the DAM and say, "Hey, I have a slow period right now. I'm going to implement some metadata maintenance. I need to go back. I need to make sure all of our ducks are in a row." And then I just start at the bottom, and I look at the search reports, and I look at what people are downloading and how they're searching, and see if I can, and see how I clean up from there. Then I go to different teams, and I see how they're using it. And I try to understand, are they finding what they need? What kind of terms would help them? I send out surveys. I set up meetings, that sort of thing. And I just talk to the users, and that's basically the meat of it. Just talk to your users, see how they want to use it, and try to implement that as best you can. I'm usually, I don't want to say the backbone because, well, I would like to say the backbone of a company, but not necessarily, but I see all of the content that's going in and going out. I know what's happening on production, so I'm able to anticipate metadata needs and taxonomy needs down the line. I know that LinkedIn is specifically is very reactive. So if something culturally changes, we're on the forefront of that. So I know that we're going to have more diverse imagery coming up. I know, based on that, how I need to start tagging, and that sort of thing. I know the initiatives that are going to come out and what people are going to be wanting to put in their decks, for example. So just looking ahead at what is coming, if you have that ability, is really important to anticipate what people are going to be looking for. It's kind of, we're like the psychics of a company.
I love that. I'm going to add that to my LinkedIn profile.
I know. Metadata psychic.
Metadata psychic. I think that's great.
To add to Aaron's point, it has to be scheduled, all right? And it can take weeks or longer, depending on how large your library is and how many assets are actually in question. Not just archive, but actually are being used in the library itself, to use that term. So it could be grouped up in collections as far as what different, you know, whether it's photo shoots or this type of assets, or because different kinds of asset may have different kinds of metadata sometimes, you know, video versus photo, that kind of thing. And you could group them up in that sense to answer one of the panelists' questions of how would you do it so that it's minimized and chunk based, if you will. So you do it in blocks. That would be one of the recommendations. So you handle one block at a time, not just, well, let's download all the metadata from the DAM and start from there. Yay. No, that would be bad. That would be very hard to swallow, regardless of how big that elephant sized DAM is, because it's only getting bigger, typically. Most DAMs are, and they only get bigger and bigger and bigger, unless for some odd reason you toss things, which, you know, it's not recommended. But that's a different issue.
I was also going to say that one of the other reports that you could pull in order to govern your strategy for this is how often has an asset been accessed and when was the last time somebody accessed it. So if an asset hasn't been touched in, say, 3 to 5 years, those go to the bottom, right, of your cleanup. Then maybe 1 to 3 years. And so you focus on assets that have all been touched by somebody during the past year and divvy it up like that. And that way you're not spending time and money on assets that aren't bringing in any ROI for you. That's another way, I think, is asset usage reports can be very useful when chunking out your metadata updates.
It's also good to see on those assets that haven't necessarily been touched. Maybe their metadata just needs an update. Maybe you've introduced new terms that can be applied. It would be a good way to like repurpose content, so to speak.
One other point I'd mention with this is when you're at the point of purchasing a new DAM, because most people have already been through this process once or twice, one question to ask vendors in RFPs is, what sort of facilities do you have helping us carry out metadata audits? That can give you some good indications about how experienced they are. Because some of the better vendors will work with hundreds or even thousands of clients, and they'll be able to share some of their expertise with some of the information that they've picked up from working with a lot of clients. And that will also give you some clues about how much they really know about this topic or not. So, yeah, that would be one of my other tips for this particular question.
Yes. And somebody also posted in the chat that there's the importance of doing ongoing analysis of the terms used. In other words, do you have redundant terms in your DAM? Do you have ambiguous terms? And it's always good to take a look at that when you're doing your metadata maintenance or audit. And so thanks to Jane for bringing that up.
Yeah. There's also the redundancy of the assets themselves, right? Which occasionally occur if not intended. I've seen tens to hundreds of copies of the exact same file, exact same file size. And that can be done through checksums, where you basically see the fingerprint of the asset, if you will, as part of the metadata and see, it's like, oh, this asset exactly the same, but it has different metadata. Shocker. Maybe we should do something about that and minimize redundancies, to your point. It's one thing to have synonyms, you know, that might be totally acceptable because people search for things differently in the synonym sense, but not in the redundancy of the exact same asset, exact same file size, exact same crop, all that fun stuff. There's no point in that unless your library is not complex enough for that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Just one further point as well, I'd say with the metadata cleanup, it can become quite a contentious subject. This I've seen this with a number of clients where clients have undertaken a metadata cleanup, an audit cleanup, and metadata has been removed, which has subsequently turned out to have been quite important and really should not have been modified, or at least should have been changed in a more sensitive manner. So, before you take an axe to a lot of this stuff, make sure you've got a way to archive it and liaise with as wide a range of people as possible to make sure you're not making the situation worse by tidying things up.
And the structure of your data as well, as far as the mapping is concerned, because you may have different collections or categories or however your structure is built up, right? Where you may have categories on the, let's just call it right left-hand side panel, as some DAMs are designed, and they may not be relevant anymore. So getting rid of the irrelevant things or changing them up so that they're much more relevant to the general users would sometimes be helpful and necessary to getting rid of the, let's just call it bell bottoms and long sideburns of your DAM.
Yes. Somebody asked about when you need to add metadata to older files that aren't showing up in searches. And I think this is pertaining to stock video. The question's for all of us, but I think I'd need a clarification. Is Sarah, who is the questioner, asking about older files that literally have no metadata attached to them, and that's why they're not showing up in searches, or they have metadata, but it needs to be updated or expanded in order for it to be discoverable. So we can wait for Sarah to respond to that, but it's an interesting question. And to Ralph's point about how does your DAM vendor help you with functionality in terms of metadata audits? I was recently doing some freelance work, and the DAM the customer was using didn't even have global search and replace capability. Well,
it'd be painful.
That was a painful realization. Okay, so Sarah's saying they literally have none. I've been adding metadata as I come across the files. That's a good question. Adding metadata to old stock photos where none exists.
So I've done that before. Typically, you can go back to the vendor and scrape their metadata, or at least ask for it. In a perfect world, they'll give it to you in a nice container like a CSV, an Excel, whatever, based on the original name of the asset when you download it from Stock Photo Library X, whatever it happens to be. hopefully a well-known one that knows what they're doing with metadata. That usually means that they'll continue existing because metadata works both ways, to buy, just find, usually to find first, then buy.
Some great comments in coming in from the people that are attending. I got a kick out of this one. You know, people are still think that cleanups can be done by computer, right? Because everything's so digital. And some of that is certainly true. But, you know, are there suggestions to help reduce such a manual function? Possibly. You know, then there's companies like ourselves, not to be a shameless plug, but reach out for help. There's no reason for you to have a bottleneck with some of these manual tasks when there's a lot of people out there that can help support and do some of these menial tasks for you, so that we're opening up you know, the opportunity for you to be concentrating on moving those assets through the enterprise and doing what else your job entails. Because the hats are starting to grow, right? And the hats that you're putting on are a lot different than many years ago. So some of that metadata manual can be offloaded, and that's easily supported with your management staff.
Exactly. And to revisit Aaron's point, typically digital asset managers are alone. So during those light days that you have of the ability to do metadata auditing, which is rare, and you have to find those, you know, holidays for the sake of argument where everyone's not using the system for the sake of argument or whatever that might look like, so that it's not during peak season, whatever that might look like either, to help you with that. And to assist, whether it's remote by today's standard or whatever that might look like. There's many ways to do it.
Also, make sure you're setting yourself up for success. I know a lot of DAMs have the machine learning and AI, so they'll tag very generic things. But also try to find out where your content is coming from and try to see if it makes sense for you to give like production forms, for example. So a producer who is creating content can give it to the photographer, because cameras now have the ability to apply metadata, and your DAM will suck that metadata right in. So you could put those keywords blanketly on images that are coming into the DAM. Also, if you are working in video, talk to your video editors so they could push it out on the final export. All of that stuff will come in and make your life a lot easier once you do ingest all of that media. Once you're going through it, maybe you don't have as many terms or metadata to apply.
Yeah, absolutely. The whole supply chain, digital asset supply chain side of this is one point I'd absolutely agree with. There's all this metadata that's created prior, before it even gets into your DAM. And you want to get access to as much of that as possible.
Yeah. And if you want to seed the DAM with metadata, I mean, I'm going to talk about two specific areas, which is video assets with video records and bibliographical assets. So video assets, whether we're talking about a movie or a TV episode or a documentary or whatever, you might want to take a look at the Entertainment ID Registry, which is at eidr.org. And I think they have now, and maybe I'm way low, over 2 million records pertaining to content metadata, which was created. The record would have typically been created by the original content creator and then used and added to by the consumers of that content. And for bibliographic records, I mean, I think the standard throughout the industry is the Library of Congress metadata standard, and those records that are designated by ISBN number, something else for older books. But if there is something out there that you can use to seed your DAM with some metadata fields and you're confident in its accuracy, I would say go ahead and do that. That would save a lot of time.
Yep, absolutely. We're going to save some time for questions that are coming in from the viewers, but I did want to ask one more thing before we move there. who is it that should be included within this process? And more importantly, why? Because you could waste a lot of time without getting the right people involved to move this forward, right? So who are the key players that you got to make sure that are buying in?
I think you have to have at least, and this is from the top down, a senior management person who's going to be the champion for the effort. So I'm not so much talking about ongoing cleanup as when you're doing major dam audits. Since it should be a collaborative process, there should be someone who is championing it in your organization that you can turn to and use as a to communicate the importance of what you're doing and why it's important for people to participate in it. So that's one person I think you need.
Yeah, if you can get somebody that's technical, not just the dam manager necessarily, who may be technical or may not, but someone who can help you with the XML, with the CSVs, manipulating those if necessary. If they need to create macros for you to automate some of these things of common challenges that keep reappearing in your metadata, so be it. Potentially an engineer from potentially the vendor itself, back to Ralph's point of using the vendor resources if and when they're available, and potentially people who can manipulate the reports necessarily if the dam manager doesn't know how, or dam professional, should I say. If they can't, or if they don't have the time to, you know, potentially outsource it to a company or a consultant who can, and have them do that on things that obviously aren't not manipulating live metadata. That would be not a good idea, for obvious reasons. But manipulating potentially a CSV or a spreadsheet, of the metadata and going around and doing those interviews. If people, you know, back to Aaron's point, are super busy and they can't do it, and manipulating that for the said purposes of the bettering of the metadata, but it has to be obviously budgeted to Abby's point, and the professionals have to be, you know, available. The time has to be made and scheduled to do that. Aside from having the requirements to understanding how are we going to make it better.
I think one point I'd say is if you're using focus groups as to sort of give you feedback on your metadata, it's also important not to have the same group of people each time. I've seen that a few times when working with clients, is they'll organise focus groups and it'll be a very vocal set of stakeholders or users who then skew the metadata towards whatever their interests are. And that's something you have to watch out for as well in terms of the people that you're bringing into this process.
Excellent.
I have something to say. So like I've said before, like I'm usually a team of one, and this little team of one generally does not have a huge budget when it comes to hiring help and that sort of thing. One of the best partners that I found for mine is going back to the vendor and saying, hey, we pay for a customer service fee. This is what I need you to do for me. Usually they are happy to do it. I've never had an issue with that. So they can pull all of the metadata reports quickly. They can pull all of the metadata quickly. They have the ability to find and replace quickly, that sort of thing. And that's the very best resource that I have found to be able to do everything as fast as possible with little to no extra budget involved.
Yeah, that's a great point. Go back to the vendor and see what else you can have them start to work on, because if you're not going to ask, they're not going to offer.
Exactly. And they're usually willing to negotiate. And I've never had a vendor come back and say, actually, we can't do that. Actually, you're on your own.
Yeah. Sorry. That's great. Somebody asked about deduplicating assets. Henrik, I think you touched upon it. Is there any tools that we know of, plugins, to do this process if the DAM vendor does not provide that functionality?
Yeah, there are a number of them out there, third-party tools that you can use. One that I like is CRC32, MD5. These are checksum tools. HSA1 is a more robust one. It takes a while and it takes a lot of processing time of just basically waiting for each asset to be churned on. And that's something you can basically do in the cloud nowadays. If your assets are already in the cloud and you just need to make a copy and figure out what that looks like, unless your vendor can do that and does it, you know, on a regular basis and creates a checksum upon upload, that'd be nice. If they can't, then you're stuck to. Or if you're not in your DAM yet and you're just minimizing duplications offline before you put them in the DAM, kind of helpful, right? To not have hundreds of copies of the exact same thing before you upload them. So you can do that offline. I've done that many, many times. I'm sure my colleagues have as well. It's just a lot of processing time, like days of waiting for thousands of assets to be churned on. And then after that, you'll see what's actually truly unique. And then you can start on tagging those.
Yeah. OpenRefine, anybody been using that? No? Okay. What about more information? Where can people find help aside from some of the things we've already mentioned? I know that, Abby, you're quite familiar with EIDR. Do you use that? You want to talk a little bit about that?
So, yeah, I was around when EIDR was launched and was a member of several of what they called Tiger Teams to come up with the schemas for things like episodic series and feature films and so on. And it's a nonprofit consortium. You can go to EIDR.org and see their current list of members. It grows every year, and therefore their number of records grows every year. And they have an open API such that if you are, and again, these are video assets primarily, and they have several different hierarchies that you can access, but they have an open API that lets you suck the metadata that you need into your system. And really EIDR.org is a great resource to go to learn more about what the organization is and what it's useful for.
I've blogged about auditing your assets on another DAM blog before. I've obviously done it a few times, hence why I blogged about it. If you need help, feel free to contact people like Ralph at his company or MyDAM Services for help on that service, because a lot of different consultants offer that service of auditing assets if you have the budget to do so. And you don't have the bandwidth or the capabilities to do that and don't know where to start. So that's one way to do it.
Good.
I wrote an article last year for CMS Wire. I'll see if I can put this in the chat. This is sort of general governance principles. To be honest, I think a lot of this we've already talked about. I'll see if I can put that one up. That's got some pointers about general governance. It talks about auditing as well. And I think we've got some feature articles on DAM News about ROI and in particular going into conducting audits of your digital assets. So those will be areas I'll check out. I think David Diamond's book as well, his metadata book. What's that called? Metadata for Content Management, Designing Taxonomy, Metadata, Policy, and Workflow. That's it. Short title there. That book's pretty good. And I think that's got some information about carrying out metadata audits in it also.
Certainly between you and Henrik, for those that aren't aware, Dam News has an unbelievable amount of information, as does Henrik with all his podcasts and different interviews, Another Dam blog, great resources for a lot of the Dam users that are just starting out. I got a kick out of this. Many users find tagging tedious. I've never heard that.
People usually love tagging. That one really threw me.
They're asking, what's the scope for auto or suggested tagging based on new content? Is there a starting point? You know, could an automated audit correct metadata or suggest new metadata for review? It's kind of a tongue tie there, but I think I know what he's getting at. Any ideas or help in that regard?
I wonder if they're referring to the many video analysis tools that are out there that use things like facial recognition, spatial coordinates, and so on to analyze video and suggest terms and so on. But I don't think I would ever want to, and I say never, but just take that metadata as is without a human review. And unfortunately, that is time consuming, but there are lots of video analysis tools out there that could maybe help you get started.
One tip, actually, I've heard of that. And this is, I think it was Roger Howard who suggested this, who some of you may know of, that what you can do is you can use some of these AI tools, and this is mainly for images, to create almost like a second corpus of metadata. And if you do a search and it comes up with no results, providing the DAM supports this, the user can then be asked, well, do you wish to search the additional metadata repository or something like that? And then it will go through that and see if some results can be found in there. I'm not a massive fan of automated AI metadata because generally it turns out to be sort of useless and people complain about false positives and that kind of thing. But I thought that was quite a good way to intelligently use it. It's not completely without some utility.
Very true. I like this comment, in case the viewers aren't seeing this or won't see this, that they agree that cleanup should be ongoing. They've made minor tweaks and adjustments to metadata on a regular basis, and they use mostly control vocabulary fields, which is a huge help with uploading and searching. And Henrik's suggestion to check the activity logs of the users to see how many searches versus how many downloads they are performing per visit. Yeah, I agree. Very, very helpful. Getting to the end of the hour. Is there anything anybody else would like to say to tie this up? Done an incredible job with covering a lot of having to do with scrubbing metadata and metadata cleanup. Anything else you felt you didn't cover or you'd like to comment on?
Somebody commented on crowdsourcing mm-hmm. of metadata. I've seen that backfire quite badly, unfortunately, because it's like the user-generated content. We know users can create just about anything, good or bad. and guess who gets to clean it up? So if you actually bother to or see it, right? That's the challenge is you don't have eyes everywhere. You can pop out reports all day long, but what has actually been, edited in the recent timeframe is what, might be what needs your attention. Or not. It's a matter of, as far as automation, I think there's ways that you can find errors, like as far as delimiters, for example, like how things are separated as far as keywords are concerned, because each DAM has its own delimiter, typically already pre-registered, right? And so if it's not there, right, when you're uploading a CSV or an Excel or bulk uploading, right, because many of us want to bulk upload on as often as possible to save time as DAM professionals. Can you bulk upload and then bulk export the metadata from a specific time frame, right, or a specific collection, and then check it and bulk import it to fix it, right? That's been very, very helpful in the past. Instead of going, well, let me look at the GUI at this one asset and change this one asset at a time. That will take you years. I'm sorry. So if you want to do it in weeks versus years, I suggest you look at using reports and things like that as often as you can, and using the vendor resources that are available. And you know, back to Ralph's point, if the or to Aaron's point, if the vendor says, "Oh, we can't help you," there you go, get a new dam. that's the easiest way to fix it. And then you'll have new criteria for a new dam. It's like, can I manipulate metadata in bulk, and can I upload in bulk?
Now, these are all good questions to ask when you're doing vendor evaluations and issuing RFPs. as I learned to my dismay in the earlier years, when we weren't asking all of those questions because we didn't know enough to do it. And I would also say, whenever you can, use a published, if possible, globally accepted standard. And that kind of thing I'm talking about is if you have a language field in your DAM, use the ISO standard for languages. And that's just one example. When you use a standard and you enforce that standard, that can also help to prevent bad metadata popping up in the future.
Yeah, especially if it's in a dropdown already. All the choices are there, right? Spelled out for them.
Exactly. Yeah.
Not in the codes, right? Because the ISO codes don't mean anything to anybody.
Oh, no, not the codes.
It's like ENG. Mm.
The human readable front end to what the codes are, yes.
Well, that's great. Well, I hope everybody found today's webinar informative. A large reason that Henrik and I started talking about this topic was that this is what we're coming across more and more with MyDAM services, as we're helping different companies streamline and create efficiencies, is that sometimes it gets back to basics, you know, taking a look at your metadata. You know, I was listening to Abby talk about things that are at the bottom of the list that haven't been touched for a while. I think you might agree, Abby, that sometimes that might have something to do with bad metadata, right? That just people haven't come across it because they just haven't found it.
That's correct.
You know, there's so many different things to look into. And as your library grows every day, every month, every year, it gets harder to keep up with everything. So, you know, these practices are excellent to keep up on. And we encourage you to reach out for help so that these back end things can be done for you, so you can concentrate on the more important things that the DAM manager and professional is now responsible for. So panelists, thank you. Thank you so much. Remember to check out DAM News, my DAM blog. Feel free to visit my DAM services and see what we're up to. And Aaron, Abby, thank you. Ralph, Henrik, always a pleasure. And until next time, we'll see you then. Have a great day, everybody.
Thanks, everyone. Thank you.